This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialist and those who desire to be. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about increasing your income, your productivity, and just generally having a better life while serving your clients better with America's most historically proven asset class, income property. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds. I reported to you a while back on an alleged scam. We had one of the clients or victims of this and my own story about a company called PIP, Platinum Investment Properties, which is a company that does tax lien and tax deed investing. They're also known as PIP West. And they've sort of got a couple different divisions, I guess. They're based in Aliso Viejo, California, and also in South Carolina, I believe in Bluffton, South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. Also in Georgia, somehow or other. And they do business in several states, investing in tax liens and tax deeds. The principals are Charles Sells, S-E-L-L-S, and Don Fullman. You're going to hear from another one of their clients and victims who reached out to me, and I wanted to put him on the show. Please help me welcome Mark Aguirre. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jason. Thank you for having me on.
Good, good. So it's interesting how you came across this situation. You were investing with this company, and then you talked to, I guess, the real estate agent that they have selling some of their properties, and I'll ask you where that is in a moment. And she referred you, she said a lot of, was it a she, by the way?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. What's her name?
Her name is Zanika Sanders.
Zanika Sanders?
Zanika Sanders.
Zanika. What a name. There you go. Okay, so you talked to Zanika about this, and she apparently said, from what you told me earlier, that a lot of clients were unhappy with them, and she referred you to my podcast episode number 417 on the Creating Wealth Show, where I profiled this company and had another one of their victims on the show, and also told a little bit about my own story. That person was Florence Hamler, who was the guest on the show, telling her story of how she was burned by them. So what happened to you? Tell us how this all evolved.
You know, listening to that podcast, Jason, it was... It hit me right where it hurts. I mean, it was identical situation happened to myself, and that was, you know, invested the money, approximately $45,000. The tax liens were being redeemed for a period of years, and then they just started stopping. And then as of this year, 2015, I didn't recall seeing any after January.
So when you say that, just to make the listeners understand, so I'll just give a little background here. So tax lien investing and tax deed investing is basically this concept. When someone who owns a property stops paying the taxes on it, some of the municipalities basically sell that tax lien at an auction to an investor so that the municipality can get their money right away, the money that's owed, and or some of it. And then an investor like Mark Aguirre here, who we're talking to, myself, Florence Hamler, and, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of other people, if not hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands at least, basically invest either directly by going to these auctions and buying these tax deeds or tax liens, which means that it's like buying a note or a mortgage on a property. Basically, it gives you, Mark, the investor, or myself, or Florence Hamler, the right to collect the payments. And if the payments aren't made on that tax lien or tax deed, you can foreclose on the property. So what you just said is that PIP West or PIP, Platinum Investment Properties, Charles Sells, whatever, they were paying you at first, as they did me. You know, when you say they were getting redeemed, that means you were getting, you invested some money, you were getting some money paid back to you, and it all looked good, but then it just stopped, you're saying, huh?
That is true. And there was an incident a couple of years ago where I had acquired an actual property that, because the lien was not redeemed, they foreclosed on the property, which means now I actually own it. And at the time of my acquisition, they were telling me it was worth about $40,000 and that these are the different options that you could do. But it turns out that this property isn't worth $40,000 because I had reached out to various realtors in the area of Illinois. The actual territory is Kankakee, I believe they pronounce it. K-A-N-K-A-K-E-E. Kankakee?
Okay. And so this is in the state of Illinois where
That's
you're
right.
investing, which is a popular place to invest in tax liens. Okay.
And when I reached out to various realtors and said, hey, I have this property, and because I'm not receiving any feedback from PIP or PIP, I'm going to just move forward to see what we could do to perhaps sell this property that I now own. And none of these realtors wanted to work with me because they basically said, you know, it's in a terrible location. We don't even want to touch it, and it's not worth anything anyway. And I said, well, how much is it worth? And they said, oh, you know, you're lucky to get $5,000 for this property with a house on it.
Wow. And so this, just to make sure the listeners are following the story, Mark, so was this a property that PIP advised you to foreclose on to complete the foreclosure because the property, they said, was worth more than the amount of the lien and you would benefit by owning the property and then reselling it? Was that the plan?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So how much did you pay to do the foreclosure process? I know in my case, I had to pay $1,750 per property, $1,000 to the lawyer they recommended, and then $750 to PIP. And I just lost all that money, plus a whole bunch of other money, plus the opportunity cost, because they had represented to me that those properties were worth quite a bit more, and there were 10 of them. So I paid $17,500 in total for foreclosure fees. You know, when they went down that list, I think that the overall value should have been about $300,000-$400,000 of those properties, as I recall, you know, $30,000-$40,000 a piece. And shortly after I started that process, I got this strange voicemail from the city where one of these properties is, saying they were going to bulldoze one of the properties because it was all burnt out and it had rained and it was causing problems and they just needed to scrape it, basically. And I thought, oh my God, what have I been sold a complete lemon here? What happened to you? Did you pay money to foreclose? How much was it, et cetera?
Yes, I did. It was approximately $2,200 for the property. And it's funny you mentioned burned because supposedly my house is burned as well. So the investment of $2,200.
Fire damaged, yeah.
Plus, which really just throws me, is that they've spent, according to them, approximately $15,000 on taxes for this particular property. So now, you know, we're $15,000 in the hole on a property that they said was worth $40,000, but in reality worth probably $5,000. Makes no sense to me.
Okay, so they basically told you to, it sounds like you're saying they told you to foreclose on a property that was fire damaged, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, did you only foreclose on one? And I guess you ended up owning this property, right? Do you own it now?
Yes, I do. I own it now.
Okay.
And I'm just debating on what am I going to do with it.
Okay, so you've got this property and you don't know what to do with it now. And what did they tell you it was worth? Where's the property, by the way? Say that city name again, if you would.
I believe it's pronounced Kankakee, and the spell it is, or Kankakee. It's a very bizarre name. Kankakee, Illinois, which is where the property is located. And the realtor that I was finally able to get in touch with, which is their designated realtor, which is funny, they never wanted to give me the name until I just pretty much put them on the, you know, put them up to it. She CFED.
This is PIP West, you're saying, didn't want to give you the name of the agent, right?
Yeah, they didn't want to give me the name of anybody, which is very bizarre, which is, but I finally did it.
By the way, Mark, who were you dealing with? Was it Don Fullman? Was it Charles Sells? I dealt with both of them. Those were the only people I dealt with, and the attorney that they referred me to for the foreclosures. But that was it, three people.
Yeah, I specifically was dealing with Don Fullman because he's here in in California, in Orange County.
And you're based in Los Angeles, right?
Correct. And every time I reached out to Don for information, he was, if he would respond, which would be, typically after five or six or seven attempts, he would then refer me to Charles Sells, who is on the East Coast. And then I would never get anywhere with Charles as well. So it was just a constant attempt to reach out to find out what's going on with this property that I supposedly own. What are we going to do with it? Why are we spending money on something that's not going to be beneficial for both of us, et cetera, et cetera. And so here we are years later, and I'm hearing the stories from yourself and from the other guests you had on your show, and I can imagine the others that are out there in the same situation.
Yeah, who knows? There may be hundreds or thousands or dozens, or maybe it's just the three of us. I don't know. Well, I know it's more than that because I have had a couple people reach out to me. One gentleman said that he thought they were running one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in the country. Now, I never really got clarification on what he meant by that, but he says he used to work with them very closely and just felt that they were really doing things improperly, and he called it a Ponzi scheme. So what do you think happened? Like, do you think these guys are, at PIP West or PIP, are they bad guys, or did they just make a mistake, or were they intentionally trying to rip you off, you think, or what happened? I mean, what is your interpretation of it?
I couldn't tell you specifically, but the level of professionalism has never been presented in a way that I would expect, especially when you have my money. And now that I'm hearing, stories from other people, for example, the designated realtor, she expressed concerns as well in conversations with her about the clients that she's working with that are purchasing these properties, and they're having lots of problems. She's having lots of problems with these clients. And I'm thinking, and I said, anything else that seems to be of a bother? And she says, well, quite frankly, I feel that they're so confused and lost and backlogged that they don't even know what they're doing. These are her words. And I remember thinking, well, it seems apparent from my side as well, just based on the fact they can't return phone calls or emails and things of this nature. So it's just all building up, and I wish I would have taken action sooner,
So when did this all happen? When did you start investing with them, and when did you first believe that there was a problem?
I want to say 2008. I recall in 2012 reaching out to Don and saying, hey, Don, I'd like to get your opinion on investing additional money. What are your thoughts, being that we're in this crisis, the real estate crisis and the economic breakdown of the markets? And he said something that I would never have expected. And he says, I don't think I would invest any more money. I said, okay, thanks for your advice. And that was in 2012. And then from that point on is when I would never be, unable to obtain information directly through Don. He was always, like I said, putting me off. And then I was never able to get information through the office on the East Coast. And that's when I started sensing that, there's something fishy going on here, but I just don't know. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We all do that. Unfortunately, we do that.
Right, right. Yep.
And now we're 2015, and I've suspected for the last, 3 years now, that's like something's not right here. But on occasion, when you get these redemption checks, thinking, okay, they're back on track.
And a redemption check means that the person who owns the property paid the taxes plus a bunch of interest. In other words, they redeemed the property because they caught up on the back taxes, right? That's what you mean by that?
That is correct.
Okay. So we've got these two guys, Don Fullman and Charles Sells, and Don Fullman, to me, I met with him a few times many years ago when I started investing with him. At first, I got some redemption checks, and it seemed like, hey, this is all working, you know. But it's so complicated. Like, it was mired in complexity, so it was hard for me to really evaluate the investment along the way. But I was getting checks, and I felt good about it. And Don seemed like this kind of, you know, fatherly, grandfatherly type kind of conservative guy, which, I don't know, I guess I like that. He seemed like a legit guy. And then when I met Charles Sells at the Equity University, he just did not seem like a reputable guy to me at all. That was my impression. Admittedly, it's a judgment call, and you know, that's probably not completely fair. But I just got a very bad intuition from him. He seemed slimy to me, frankly. And I had a booth there. I was speaking at this event, and they were too. And this was in Orlando, Florida, I believe. A few years ago, and I saw Don kind of maybe 30 feet away, and we kind of waved at each other, and he came over to our booth, and I was completely polite to them, and he started sweating, he was shaking, he was visibly very nervous talking to me, and I didn't even really ask him about this. You know, I was just kind of saying hi to him, really. And it's, you know, it's kind of right after I felt that something was going wrong. Now, did you say to me before when we were talking off air that Don Fullman retired from the company?
Yes, in fact, I believe it's about 2 months ago now. So that would have been right around October timeframe of this year, 2015. The first thing that went through my head was, I bet you he had a conscience. Or maybe he had a fallout with these guys on the East Coast. Because, you know, I can't imagine Don, from what I've ever known, he's always been very professional, very nice guy, exceptionally detail-oriented. I just can't imagine that it had him.
He just didn't return phone calls, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
He didn't respond to my emails or calls either, so I know what you mean about that.
I wouldn't doubt the fact that, you know, maybe they pressured him, you know, not to to get involved with his clients anymore and to go through us. Who knows?
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible, yeah. So, tell us, what else should the listeners know about this? I mean, you know, hopefully we're saving some people from some heartache by exposing these kind of things. I mean, anything more about this company or just the concept of tax lien or tax deed investing in general? I don't like the complexity of it, and I don't like, you know, basically PIP West or PIP, they kind of go by both names. They act as an agent, basically, like your agent going to the auctions and so forth, and they take fees for doing all this, which would be fine, but they can hide a lot of stuff from you. And unlike just buying a simple property, there's a lot of complexity in this. You had told me earlier today, after reaching out to me, about how there was one property that you had that they decided to pay like $15,000 in taxes or something. What was that about? Tell us about that.
Yeah, and that's a property that I currently own. You know, the fact that I've acquired this property and the fact that that PIP has been paying taxes and insurance on a property knowing that it's not worth anything just perplexes me. And the fact that when I inquired about it, Charles's response was, well, when we acquired this property 2 years ago, or 2.5 years ago for you, it was worth $40,000, $45,000. And that's why we paid the $15,000 in taxes on it over the years, because it's still worth the investment.
But the interesting thing is, so are you saying that they took that upon themselves and made a decision to pay taxes, but stick you with the bill? I mean, you had to pay them back for that, right?
That's correct. And what's really, what makes no sense to me is that he says, I mentioned to him that, but the property is only worth about $5,000. And the reason I know that is because the designated realtor says, I tried to sell it at auction for $5,000 and I couldn't get any bidders or any takers. So when I told Charles this, he says, well, when we got it 2.5 years ago, it was worth $40,000. And I'm thinking, so you're telling me a property devalued that much in 2.5 years? It just seems impossible.
Well, but also, why would you pay 1/3 of the property value in just taxes? I mean, that just seems crazy. Even if it was worth $45,000, 15 grand in property taxes? That's great. That's just a lot of money. Do you think that they really paid that money, or they were just telling you that? Like, do you have any proof that they actually paid it?
No, I have no proof. I was just told that last year when I inquired. You know, we paid this much, and then of course, you just take their word for it until we move forward. You know, what do we do next? We'll find out.
Okay, so what else do you want people to know? You had told me some other things that, you know, I can't remember all the stuff you told me off air before, but just anything else you want people to know about this whole situation?
Well, I think we all get, you know, if you're going to invest your money, just do it yourself. If you want to buy tax liens, don't have someone do it for you. Just go and do it yourself. That's simple. That's the lesson I've learned. You know, you get greedy, you think there's easy ways to make money, and perhaps that was the lesson I learned. And, you know, that's the only piece of advice. Just keep your money within your control. Don't let anybody else take your money from you and invest it for you, per se, if you can do it yourself.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I couldn't agree. You're preaching to the choir on that one. You know, I have my my 10 commandments of successful investing, and the favorite is commandment number 3, which is, thou shalt maintain control. You know, when you relinquish control of your finances to somebody else, you leave yourself susceptible to 3 major problems. Number 1, you might be investing with a crook. Number 2, you might be investing with an idiot. So if they're dishonest or incompetent, you're going to lose money. Or number 3, assuming they're honest and competent, they take a big fat management fee off the top for managing the deal. And that's the problem with it. Now, I don't always follow my rule. And frankly, I think I started investing with them before I even came up with that, the Ten Commandments. It was so long ago that I started with these guys. But it seems like every time I break my rule, when I just try something or experiment with something, I get burned, you know. And, these are hard lessons to learn. They really are. But we like being a direct investor. I totally agree with you there. So where are you now with them? What do you do next? I mean, do you have a complete loss here? Do you have any chance of recovery, or what's the next step for you?
That's a good question. I think I've accepted the fact that I've been taken advantage of, so I've moved through that phase. The next phase is, okay, you know, what can we do to prevent this from happening to other people? But as far as me personally, I'm probably out about $20,000, which is a substantial amount of money. But then again, you add the $15,000 on top of that to the fees that they supposedly have been paid, so now it's $35,000, not to mention the opportunity costs and so forth and so on. So it'd be quite substantial. So again, my goal is to figure out a way to stop, to help, you know, help work together to get them to stop and prevent this from happening to other people.
Any action steps you plan to take on there, on that? Or, I mean, coming on the show and just talking about the problem. You know, and by the way, I should say to the listeners, I invited Charles Sells to come onto the show, but he didn't accept my invitation. I guess I'm not that surprised, but I tried to get him on the show so he could tell his side of the story, but, you know, he wouldn't do it. They threatened to sue Florence Hamler for coming on, but never did, so far as I know. They left her like a few phone messages saying, oh, you can't do that. You can't. Of course you can talk about them. You know, it's the First Amendment, okay? This is good that we have this opportunity to let other people know about it, you know, and that's what the news media does. Is not, you know, it's not here to be a lapdog. It's here to be a watchdog against these types of things and expose them when they happen. It's going to be kind of interesting to see if that other person who claimed that they were running this big Ponzi scheme comes forward with more information. I know that I had several people contact me about this, and it's just interesting. So are you going to contact like the attorney general of the different states? Because see, for your thing, you've got like 3 states that are involved in this. You've got California, where you live and Don Fullman lives, And then you've got South Carolina, where Charles Sells is. And then you've got Illinois, where the investment was made. Now, did you just do Illinois also, or other states?
Those are the only. Illinois was the only one that that I own this actual property in. But I do know that there was redemptions, if I'm not mistaken. You know what? Come to think of it, it's just Illinois. That's correct.
Yeah, just Illinois. Yeah, Illinois is one of the better ones because they can people can earn the higher interest rates, and that's I guess maybe because Illinois has so many fiscal problems due to the left leaning politics there that they need the money more. So you can get higher rates on those. But what I would like to do is I still like the concept of these tax lien and tax deed investments, and I think if someone really took the time to go to the auctions to learn about it in depth. I mean, it's a pretty complicated thing, but it is interesting. And if they did it themselves, rather than relying on, you know, a company like PIP, which obviously we've all had problems with, it seems like you could do pretty well in it. I mean, you hear the stories of the guy that bought, you know, the $100,000 property for $278. You know, I mean, those aren't exact numbers, but, you know, just those kinds of stories. You know, that sounds pretty awesome, but I don't know. You know, I think you just got to do it yourself, you know. Have you had any interest in doing that? Or
I at this point, it's really hard for me to think in that direction. But you know, it's not to say that I wouldn't change down the road.
I remember seeing those infomercials with one of these old real estate gurus, a guy named John Beck, and I remember him from years ago. I mean, when I was literally 18, 19 years old, and I first got into the real estate business, John Beck was, you know, selling different concepts and so forth. But then he had this series of infomercials. I used to see them, you know, not too many years ago about tax lien investing. And I'd hear these incredible stories and I thought, wow, that is like the deal of the century. But boy, it didn't go so well for us, did it?
No, it did not. We have to work on a nice plan to, like I said, to keep it from happening to other people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mark, thank you for coming on the show. And, you know, is there anything I didn't ask you or any information you just wanted to get out that I didn't cover with you?
I think we were pretty thorough, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay. Thanks so much. That's Mark Gehry, and appreciate you doing a good consumer service, Mark. That'll be very much appreciated by our listeners. So thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right. And to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and 3 books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.